Yesterday, the federal government added 13 new extremist groups to its list of terrorist entities. And yes, it included the Proud Boys, a neo-fascist organization founded by a Canadian. I mean, many of us here in Montreal knew of Gavin McInnes from his days with Vice and from hanging around Biftec, a bar on Saint-Laurent. Canada is the first country to label the Proud Boys a terror threat. And it means that members can now have assets frozen. They can face criminal prosecution. It is a step toward combating extremism and hatred. NDP leader Jagmeet Singh has been urging action on this issue for years. He joins us now. Thanks for joining us again, Mr. Singh.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
So Parliament is back in session this week. It's a few days after the anniversary of the Quebec mosque shooting. It's the start of Black History Month. Did that add to a sense of urgency putting forward this motion?
Well, it certainly is a big part of the motivation. We think about all the people impacted by hate. And some of these groups, particularly the Proud Boys, have very anti-Semitic, anti-women, just hateful messages that are divisive, and they promote violence, and they were very openly involved in the insurrection and violence in the United States when we were all staring in horror at what happened in Washington, D.C. So this is something that for a long time we've known is a problem, that extreme right-wing groups and hate groups, white supremacist groups, are a threat to Canadians, are a real and urgent threat, but they hadn't received the attention that they needed to receive, and so this is a big step forward.
Yeah, I'm thinking about how there's like an insidiousness to it and also like a dismissiveness almost. It's like, oh, you know, they're no big deal, especially, you know, founded by a Canadian. Somehow they can't possibly be that harmful. Meanwhile, hate groups in Canada have tripled over the last 5 years. So do you think this step is going to curb those numbers? Does it go far enough? Are we on the right track?
Absolutely. I think this is going in the right direction. And I think what you pointed out is so important for folks to know. Hate has been on the rise in Canada. There's been a massive increase in hate groups since 2015 to present time. We noted from 150 groups to over 300, so absolutely close to tripling in number. And we know that these threats are often ignored and not given attention. And just to think about in the States, with some of the most well-resourced security forces like the FBI and the CIA, to completely ignore the very open threats that these white supremacists and extreme right-wing groups made, it wasn't hidden. They were openly planning and plotting to attack the Capitol, and they were ignored. And those threats were ignored, and people died as a result. Similarly, in Canada, you mentioned the Quebec attack. We've learned that, and this is open, well known, everyone knows this now, that the attacker was inspired by hate groups. It was would regularly check on extreme right-wing groups. Mm-hmm. These groups pose real threats to Canadians and have been ignored for too long, and I think this is certainly a positive step and will have, I hope, a chilling effect in groups that have been emboldened for years.
I always wonder about that. We're speaking with NDP leader Jagmeet Singh, because I always wonder about what is this stem from? Like, I always think it comes back to sadly, wanting to belong, wanting to connect in any way possible. So I wonder if this will, you know, curb that, or will it actually drive people to wanting to be part of it even more?
I think a part of what happens is when people face economic insecurity, when someone can't buy a home that they can afford, or they can't get a job to pay the bills, and then someone comes along and says, comes along with a very simplistic argument that, you know what, the reason why you can't get a job is because of these new immigrants. The reason why you can't afford your home is because of some conspiracy theory, and they throw in some anti-Semitism. These things then are ways to manipulate people who are already going through hardship. And I think what we have to do to get to the root of this, we've got to dismantle these groups and the way they radicalize people. We also have to acknowledge that economic inequality, when people can't afford to earn a good life, they are more susceptible to being manipulated into these hate groups.
Mr. Singh, you know, I know I don't need to tell you, you know that we have a premier here in Quebec who continuously denies the existence of systemic racism. So where do you start with someone like that? How do you convince someone that there is a problem?
What we found was really effective in combating one of the most egregious forms of racial profiling at the hands of the police in one of the most diverse cities in the world, in Toronto. Carding was happening where young Black men were being stopped disproportionately. In fact, racialized and Indigenous youth were being stopped. Mm-hmm. The evidence we were able to show, because there was race-based data, we were able to show that young Black men, for no reason, were being stopped, not having committed any offense, at such a higher proportion than anyone else, the evidence allowed us to make the argument. So one of the things we're pushing for to tackle systemic racism is to look at the data. If we had better race-based disaggregated data, we could show that when we look at health outcomes, when we look at education, policing, that there is a disproportionate disadvantage experienced by racialized people, particularly by women. And the more evidence we have, it is at some point hard to argue. People can't argue the numbers and the facts that this is a real challenge and there's evidence to back it up.
We're speaking with Jagmeet Singh, leader of the NDP. I don't know if you happened to see the release from Kids Help Phone. It was out just this morning, and it shows that Black Canadian youth are the most, quote, the most distressed of all service users, unquote, because of racism. And it's only second to those experiencing domestic abuse. What do you say to that, Mr. Singh? What can we do to fight that?
Again, we've got to show that this is not something that's localized to any one field. It's not just in the criminal justice system. As the report's indicating, it's services in general. And we know we've got different examples that come up, whether it's Indigenous people in hospitals and those really horrible videos that came out of Joy Sheshewan and her pleas for help being made fun of. We know that racialized people experience challenges, and particularly Black community members face these challenges. We have to, one, acknowledge they exist, look at the evidence, and then make better policies to end this once and for all.
Mr. Singh, I'm going to ask you a question that I've been asking our listeners today. So going in a different direction, but I'm just, you know, what is, I've been asking people, what is something people wrongly assume about you? And I'm immediately curious how you would answer that question.
Well, one of the things I purposely started wearing bright colored turbans is there's this notion that someone wears a turban is maybe reserved or not welcoming to others, and I purposely wanted to wear bright colors so that it could welcome someone saying, oh, that's a really cool color, or I like that color turban. When I wear a pink one, people are like, oh, I like that pink. And I feel like sometimes people think that the way I look might be a discouragement to not come and have a conversation. And so I want to encourage people, yeah, let's chat. If you want to chat about my turban, sure. But if you want to talk about how we can build a better Canada, even better. But whatever it is, I feel like sometimes there's a barrier when someone looks a little different that you don't feel like they're approachable or willing to have a conversation. Mm-hmm. And that's something that I've come up against.
Yeah, you know, and yet I would never in a million years think of you as someone being who's not approachable, but that's because you've done the work to offset that so that you won't be viewed that way. Last time we spoke, Mr. Singh, I kind of half joked that the next time we spoke, I was going to try to get you to convince me to vote NDP. I voted NDP once for Tom Mulcair, and that's because I lived in his riding, and he worked so darn hard. He worked so hard. He showed up on my doorstep twice. The phone was ringing all the time, and I thought, good grief, you've earned my vote. And the Liberal MP that I usually voted for was completely MIA. So, given Mr. Singh that there will probably be an election this year, do you want to give it a shot now? Do you want to try to convince me or anyone else to vote NDP in the next election?
For sure. I would say, look at our track record in this pandemic. The CERB, or the PCU in Quebec, the CERB was introduced at 1,000. We doubled it to 2,000. It was not going to be 2. We made it happen. Students got help because we fought for it and got students the Canadian Emergency Student Benefit. We increased the wage subsidy to 75% from 10%. And for the first time in the history of our country, we fought to get paid sick leave that had never existed at the federal level. We made that happen. We focus on fighting for people, and we're the only party that believes that the wealthiest should pay their fair share. We put forward a wealth tax that says those that have fortunes of over $20 million should contribute a bit more. And all the other parties voted against this idea of taxing the wealthy. The Bloc, the Conservatives, the NDP, were the only party that voted for it. The Liberals voted against it as well. So you can count on us to be there for you. We're fighters. I'm a fighter for people. And I hope to win over everyone's vote, including yours as well.
Well, you're always a joy to talk to, and I do like a lot of your policies. I appreciate your time today. Thank you.
Thank you so much.